Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today, I'm very excited. I have a man that supported me when nobody knew who I was on the internet. I have just some guy with a Twitter account going, please, please, please come on my show. Itai Gerdman's here. Thank you for coming back. It's only been, what, 2.5 years?
Maybe. Yeah, first time that we're doing it face-to-face.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I mean, back then, there was no Zoom. Skype was a little weird. I couldn't record anything. And now I got a green screen behind me. I got your lovely face. This is awesome.
You got Ivy behind you.
I have Ivy behind me. So let's start your film first, because, I mean, people, I just want you to know we're good friends. We are really more Facebook friends, but we haven't talked to each other in a while. Yeah. So this conversation is going to go all over the place after Ivy. So if you don't want to hear me go on about other things, stop after we talk about Ivy. But we're going to get into Ivy immediately.
We can talk about anything you want to talk about.
I know we will, because that's what we do. So when you're filming a short film, right, location's an important thing, and especially for this film. I think your location, other than the surprise that I'm allowed to discuss, I've been forewarning people, you're not going to get the end. You're going to have to pay for it and find it somewhere. Why this location? Did you look at different apartments, or this one you knew was the one you wanted?
Well, I'll drop a little bit of a tidbit of information on you there, but the apartment that we shot in is the same apartment we shot Dolphin in.
I was pretty sure of that, but I wasn't going to bring that up. So why
looks,
that apartment?
It looks very different.
You did. It you moved a lot different. Of stuff.
Yeah. Well, the originally when we shot Dolphin, the apartment was like the building was built, but it hasn't been occupied yet. So everything we put in there in Dolphin was stuff we kind of, you know, we brought it in to make it look sort of like it's lived in. And in Ivy, it's my friend's apartment, and they've been living there for a few years, him and his wife, and they let us shoot there. So that's pretty much the reason we shot it there. It's a fantastic space, you know, big lounge room, and there's a balcony, and it's sort of open up, and it gives us a lot of opportunities, you know, to hide things sort of out of frame and to play around with the space. Only this time, you know, we shot in more rooms. We played around with it a little bit more. But yeah, mainly availability.
Now so when you kick your friends out of their apartment, do you give them a parting gift?
Well, we didn't fully kick them out. We shot when they were at work. I had to repay the favor a few times over.
Oh, a few times?
Not because they asked. This is the apartment belongs to my best friend, so you know, he's like family. So for them, offering the apartment to shoot the film in was like a natural thing. I didn't take it that way. I was very, very appreciative. They didn't have to do that, and they did. And they also helped out with a lot of other stuff, so they're co-producers on the film as well.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have to repay them. They're already in.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a scene with lots of bottles on the ground.
Correct.
Now, is that leftover party bottles, or is that just your personal stash from home?
Good question. I think we just collected them for a long time, because I knew I wanted them for this scene. We basically just asked friends and kept our own for a long time in advance. I just kept putting them in a big cardboard box at home. And, yeah, moving them to the set was annoying, but, yeah, at least we had them.
Fair
enough.
You
know, just like any other props, we collected a lot of props for this one, yeah.
So your cast, you have a very big cast for something that's only 12 minutes and 36 seconds, roughly?
I think it's closer to 15, but yeah.
With credits, it's closer to 15, but I'm not counting 2.5 minutes of me reading as being
you
a short.
Skip the credits?
The credits are 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I did watch them. I wanted to see if there was an extra scene or something. Because you guys, well, I can do that to me.
The thing that we didn't mention, the reason that people, you know, that we can't reveal you know, a lot of the story, and people can't watch it at the moment, is because Ivy is actually part of a feature film. So the feature film that I'm working on, Revelation, Ivy is the opening segment from. So we can't release it out yet because it's going to basically, you know, I guess ruin a little bit of the magic of the feature.
Oh, absolutely it would. But because I dragged you on this show and I told you I'd do Ivy, you're going to do it. So everybody knows he's here because I made him come on.
Of course.
But you would have came on anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. So I'm letting you talk about the 12 minutes. So your cast. So let's discuss the cast, and I'll ask my next question. Where did you find your cast?
Well, a couple of the characters I had in mind when I was writing the script. For example, Zach Cohen, who plays Man in the Suit, he is also in the Bruce Springsteens. My comedy web series. So I've worked with him before. I've always known that I wanted to work with him again. And as I was envisioning this film, Ivy, I just saw him in that part. And straight away, I wrote it while I was envisioning him, his look, everything in the scenes. I think pretty much all the other characters. There was one that I wanted and couldn't get, and then I ended up rewriting a character. But a lot of them, or some of them, I knew and wanted to work with, so I kind of offered them the role, and then we did a little bit of an audition to see if everything works and all that, and got them. But Dan Shaked, who plays the main role, Rick. He and I have been in touch for a while, and he's actually American, lives in America, and we had some Skype conversations, talked about working together, and then when I wrote Ivy, I offered him an audition for the role, and he did. He auditioned online, and I just loved the way, you know, the way he interpreted the character and everything he did with it. We talked about it a lot, and we basically worked out a time for when he was going to be in Israel because he has family there. So he comes to visit once or twice a year. And we basically worked the whole production around the time that he was going to be there.
Oh.
So I think that also paid off. He was just perfect. The other ones, a lot of them I knew. And again, we sort of tested it out, had a few meetings, a few audition type conversations about the script, and they were all exactly what I wanted, because again, in Israel, you when you look for English speaking actors, it's obviously a slightly substantially, let's say, smaller pool than, you know, Hebrew speakers, and I was looking for people with accents that sound like they're from an English speaking country. I don't care if it's American or British or Australian or Canadian or, you know, anything, as long as it doesn't sound like it's an Israeli accent. So some of them, like I said, I already knew, and some of them I didn't, and I met for the first time during auditions, and it just, putting the cast together was actually pretty quick, as it tends to be with me for some reason.
I guess as a Canadian, I have to say, I don't think I'd recognize on his primary Hebrew-speaking person speaking English, other than the sense that maybe it wouldn't sound as clear. But, I mean, I have friends that grew up in Israel that have immigrated to Canada, and I don't notice any difference, but maybe it's just in the sense they've been here so long and they don't have that accent anymore.
Yeah. Well, a lot of Israeli actors, very good actors, but don't have very good English. So if their English isn't very good, obviously their accents are going to be extra heavy.
Oh, for sure.
And I like to have, you know, actors that can be easily understood. If I watch a movie where somebody has an accent and they're speaking in English and I can't fully understand everything they're saying, it's a problem.
Now,
and I don't want to, you know, run subtitles on an English speaking film.
this may be a weird question. I mean, you told me you have English-speaking actors. Your crew, I presume, is Israeli for the most part.
Pretty much all of them, yes.
Do you speak Hebrew to them and then English to your actors, or do you speak English to everybody?
Well, all of my actors in this particular case speak Hebrew.
Okay.
So there was only Hebrew. Like, there was Hebrew on set for the most part. Dan, because he's American, he understands Hebrew. He speaks Hebrew with an accent. But, you know, sometimes with him we sort of, you know, switch from English to Hebrew, and the way he communicated with the cast and crew was the same. But yeah, a lot of the cast and crew also, you know, even though they're Israelis, they also speak very good English, so that wasn't an issue.
Okay, you have a bug in your film. It's a CGI bug, I presume?
Yes.
Not a real bug?
It's a real bug.
Seriously?
Correct.
Who? What? Okay. Where did you steal a real bug from? It wasn't just there. You had to bring it with you.
Well, that was my co-producer, Asaf, who you know from Dolphin. He was the actor in Dolphin and a co-writer and co-producer. He also co-directed and co-wrote Third Temple with me. He was a producer on this one. He actually told me he knew where to find them, and he hunted them down and caught a couple.
Oh, so there's two bugs used.
We used two, yes, because we thought if one kind of got away from us and we couldn't find it, at least we have a backup. So we had a backup one, and also we picked up a dead one as well for another scene in the film.
Fair enough. I'm going to skip my next question because I don't think it's fair enough for you, because you touched too much on the end. So I will go with my last question. Makeup design. I love the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take for the actors to get into makeup and you to be ready? And did you have to change your look at any time?
To get into makeup, it took a fair amount of time. I can't remember exactly how long, but our makeup artist, Tanya Yerushalmi, she's fantastic. I got in touch with her, before production. I asked her, I gave her all these pictures of what I wanted. I said, can you do this? And yeah, at first she wasn't sure, and then she kind of started talking about it. The more we did, the more she got to be creative with it as well. And she came up with some beautiful ideas and solutions to all kinds of challenges. And I think it took somewhere between 40 minutes and an hour to get, anyone actor into makeup, and because Israel is hot, sometimes when they had to wait, the makeup ran a little bit. She did some touch-ups. Yeah, it was pretty good. It wasn't easy, but again, we kept it contained because this one is shot almost entirely inside the apartment. Air conditioning when we can, and It was a challenge, but not a hugely terrible one. So, it can't get much worse than that.
True. You have lots of music for a short film, and I would say lots of it. Why did you choose these songs?
Sorry?
Why did you choose these songs to play? Why these ones?
The question. Oh, music. Yes. When I thought about what kind of music I wanted for the film, I started looking online for free-to-use music or some kind of paid music that I can use while editing. I usually do this. I put like stand-in music before putting together the full either score for the film or soundtrack or however you look at it. I like to have it in editing to see if the way we shot a scene actually conveys the emotion that we want to convey. And in this one, it was just a lot of research, a lot of looking, suggesting, trying out. Both the staff and I looked hard, and we found the kind of music that we wanted. It was basically all about getting the right, the right emotion out of it, but not to be overbearing, on the viewer. It's something that I don't like in a lot of Hollywood films where the music basically tells you how to feel. I don't like that, but I like it to be an accompanying thing to what is happening.
Perfect answer. I totally agree with everything you said. So just so the listeners know, I could go into more Ivy, but I'm not allowed to. And I can't tell you where to find it, nor can he, because it's unavailable. So
it's not available yet. We have had it for a limited time on VOD before, as sort of a promotional thing while we were raising money to finish Revelation. Then I had a bit of a family tragedy, and I had to halt production and fly to Australia because we were shooting in Israel. We shot half the film, and then we, you know, at different times we were running different sort of private crowdfunding kind of a thing, basically watch it. And the money went into the production, but we did it for a very, very short time. At the moment, we're kind of talking about potentially doing that again. So anybody who wants to watch it might get a chance, but depends. The way things are going with this whole corona business, we don't know how long things are going to be, so it's very difficult to make a decision on when to release certain things because we can't really, you know, shoot the second half of it.
You're correct. So you're also running of a Facebook group called My Indie Productions, which is, I think, 4,000 people now.
No. The group has about 1,400, I think. The page has 4,000 plus likes. My Indie Productions, it basically when we started, we were shooting Third Temple. And we thought, okay, we have all these other films and other ideas. Some of them were in post-production. Some of them were just ideas we were developing. But we thought we need to have a website. So we put together a website basically just for the production company. But at the time, we were trying to get more exposure for our own productions. And we realized how hard it is for other filmmakers as well to find exposure, to get some buzz going for the films. Not every filmmaker really knows how to do that. So we dedicated a section of the website to an independent artist community. And that is also called My Indie Productions because it's also, like, it's on the same website. So the group, the Facebook group, actually is more about the independent artist community side of things, whereas the page on Facebook is more for the production company, but we cross-promote on both. And we have, I don't know, over 80 artists at the moment with another 30 or so waiting to come on that we promote regularly on Facebook and on Twitter. So that's what the deal is there with the, you know, with the group and the page. It gets a bit confusing, but because I decided to do that in the beginning, now it's very hard for me to separate them. So they're both on the same website.
So how does that feel? I mean, that you are, I would say, an indie pioneer in Israel. I haven't met another independent filmmaker from Israel, so that's good. And now you're...
I'm actually, at the moment, I live in Australia.
I know you live in two places.
Before I was living in Israel, more visiting in Australia. Now it's going to be the other way around. So Australian, Israeli, Israeli, Australian, whichever way.
Can I finish my question now? You're good? Thank
sure.
you. Okay,
sure.
I was trying to get there. How does it feel now to bring on all these extra creators and show them how it's done and how to promote and how to say, hey, get exposure for your product, get exposure for your film, come to my page, I'm going to promote you. How does that feel?
Well, we actually don't really do that much. People come to us. So once we got on Facebook and started doing this thing, it caught on fairly quickly. The website basically grew too large too quickly. I was having actually a lot of trouble keeping it together because it's more and more costs, which I wasn't anticipating. Largely we don't chase up other artists because it's all about an ideology. It's basically a community where we feel that artists should kind of band together and promote one another and collaborate and everything. We don't see being in indie filmmaking as a competition with other filmmakers, whereas other filmmakers sometimes do. So we were trying to push that side, you know, get away from a lot of the negative sides of what's happening in the industry and basically bring some sort of positive light to it. People who gravitate towards that, they contact us and, you know, ask if they can get on the website. It's a curated website, so we check out their work. If the work is good enough, we get them on, because it's a lot of work to get all these artist pages on the website, and it's all volunteer. We don't charge anything, and we don't make anything. So,
I got to thank you, because I think I'm on the website. You promote me a lot, so I will say thank you now to you directly. Moving along, you came on the first time ever here. We discussed the Bruce Springsteens, is that what it was called?
The Bruce Springsteens, yes.
Yes, and now you just told me, informed me before we started, that now you're doing a feature film on that?
Yes. When production halted on Revelation the first time, Asaf and I just started talking, and I always wanted to make a second season of the Bruce Springsteens, but one of our actors, Thomas Shakori, he sadly passed away a couple of years ago. So we couldn't really get that going. We didn't have funding for another season, and every bit of funding that we had, or every money that we had, we put into the feature, into Revelation. So in the time that we couldn't shoot, we wanted to work on something, and this is something I always had on the back burner, the Bruce Springsteen's movie, basically. Because we had a lot of material that we shot for the web series that we never used.
Uh-huh.
The episodes needed to be a certain length that we couldn't get past, so it's a five-episode season. They average out somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes an episode, and there's a little bit over an hour, I think, of content there. And then we thought, well, we have a little bit, we have almost an hour there. All we need to do is add some of the scenes that we had to cut out because we wanted people to see them because we thought they were good enough. They just didn't work in the episodes. Plus a couple of little things that we added now that we kind of shot and put together for the feature. So yeah, that's currently almost done in post-production.
Oh, awesome!
But now with Corona and everything, we're not sure what we're going to do with that. We were looking at potentially doing a physical release, and then VOD after that. But now we're not sure how we're going to do that. Which is going to be first? We live in very uncertain times.
So true. Now we're going to move on to your favorite part, if you remember, the fun questions. But before I get there, you know what? I'm going to make these up. I have nothing written down for a change because it's you. You have a stack. Before I get there, what is the mask beside you of that people can see in the video version?
To tell you the truth, I don't remember. I've been racking my brain. I know it's from a horror film that I think was a European film sometime in the 70s or 80s, but I can't remember which. I didn't get this mask because of the mask. I actually got it because of the hair.
Oh.
It matched one of our actors' hair in the Bruce Springsteens. And we needed to shoot a decapitation scene. So I needed to match his head from behind. And this was it. It was a perfect match.
That's kind of funny.
But yeah, it's just been sitting there, keeping me company while I do these things.
Fair enough. Okay, it's Friday night. I finally get to meet you in person.
If anyone does know what this mask exactly is, please let me know because it's been killing me. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I'm not sure.
It's Friday night. I come to your house for the first time we meet. What three films from the shelf behind me are you going to make me choose from to watch?
From the shelf behind me? Depends what you like. What are you into? Comedy, horror?
I'm not telling you. You got to pick. You got three choices.
Okay. Three choices. do I... Okay, so this is assuming that you haven't seen any of them.
Correct.
Okay. Well, we've talked about this before. My favorite film in the whole world is The Magnificent Seven, 1960.
Yep.
Yep. So that would be one.
Okay.
Another one would have to be also a film that is in my top five all time, which is... Ooh, okay, this is going to be a tough one because this one I'm going to have to knock another one out. You know what? Forget about it. I was going to say Pulp Fiction. Leave it out. Blade Runner. And you make it really tough. I had one on the tip of my tongue, but now I can't remember what it was. That's a tough one. You know what? John Carpenter's The Thing.
Okay, well, I've seen all three, so I'll make you go through your shelf again, just so you know.
All right. Well, you've probably seen most of them.
Probably. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Question number two. The yeah. last book you read on film.
The last book I read on film is in that is with the, in the sort of the subject of film, you mean?
Correct.
Oh, it would have been a long time ago. I don't read about films much, but I'll actually dig it out. One of my favorites, this one.
Okay, I don't think I've read that one.
It's got some very interesting stories from you know the Weinsteins when they used to be sort of at the height of their achievements. Some interesting stories behind the scenes on how certain films happened, how funding you know was achieved, and all the people behind it. It's about you know Miramax, Sundance. It was very interesting. I think after reading this book, I haven't read any other books about film anymore. I now read mostly fiction because it just gives me that inspiration I need for scripts.
Okay, last question. What advice would you give a rookie filmmaker going into filming his first feature?
Forget about it, moving to something else where you can make some money.
Itai, you have so many projects. Tell everybody where they can find them, please.
Well, I'll just go back to that question. I was kind of joking, but...
No, I thought it was a good answer.
But, young filmmakers, when wanting to get into filmmaking, just be prepared for a lot of hard work. If you don't have a really, really thick skin and a chip on your shoulder, you're probably not going to get through it. You're going to quit somewhere along the way because it's just that hard. But if you love it and you want to do it, just keep at it and just keep doing. Just don't stop. That's basically my advice.
Tell everybody where they can find all your projects.
My Indie Productions on Facebook, on Twitter. We're also on Instagram, but less active. And, of course, on myindieproductions.com. You can contact us through the website. Anything you need, anything you want to see, we're there.
Well, thank you for your time, as always. I hope I'm a little bit different than 2 years ago.
In case people want to see our films, we have Third Temple and Dolphin and the Bruce Springsteen's series are all on Angle for a couple of bucks, but yeah.
I love when they keep saying, well, thank you for your time, and you have a great evening.
My pleasure. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.